Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I am going to share a little something more on what Pastor Mike was saying there also. And it's just something good also for us to be able to read in John 14. And the majority of you have seen this already. But John 14 and in verse number 3, John 14 and verse number 3, the Lord, right, Jesus says, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, right? And then if you jump down in verse number 9, actually verse number 8, Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. So obviously we know that the way that the Father reveals himself to us, right, is through the Son, right? So if you have seen the Son and you see, right, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So by seeing him, you know what the Father's like. You know the thoughts of God, right? The Spirit of God on the inside of you will never tell you anything ever contrary to the things that are written in Scripture. So he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In verse number 9, Jesus said, how long have I been with you so long with you? And it says, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. So that's a cool thing too, right? That he says there, that he says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say to him, Philip, look at me. You know, this is the Father speaking to you, which I think he could say actually. He could also say that anyway, because he said, it's not I that speak, but it's the Father in me that does the work anyway, right? So, but it's just really good to know. But here is the really beautiful thing that I really always love to bring people to. Philip says anyway, show us the Father anyway at the end of verse number 9. Believe you not, in verse number 10, believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. So obviously, he dispels that thing. He's not saying that he is the Father. He's just saying, the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father, and we are one. So that's cool to know, right? And then he says, the words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work, which is what I just quoted to you a second ago. And here's the cool thing about the Spirit of God, because, God forbid that we would ever say that there is no Holy Spirit, right? Because we would all be in a heap of trouble. Because if we say there is no Spirit, then we have no Spirit in us. If we have no Spirit in us, we don't know nothing, right? Because the revelation of who God is only comes to us by the Spirit of God. So we would have nothing, know nothing, possess nothing. There would be no exceeding greatness of the power of God in us, nothing, right? But here's the beautiful thing of how, the Father did this beautiful thing. He came, he reconciled us to himself, and Jesus and the Father both came and made their abode on the inside of us. And look how he says this. He says, believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the works themselves. Verse number 11, right? 12, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, right? Jesus speaking, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father, right? And whatever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So everything, right, that is done in us, right, by the power of God, right, it's Christ in you doing it to bring glory to who? To the Father, right? Everything that is done, everything that is said, when things are spoken, right, to give glory to the Father, they're spoken by the Spirit of Christ in order, right? God in us speaks those things in order so that he receives that glory, right? And then he says, look at what he says. He says in verse number 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And you say, okay, well, there it is right there. See, it's not really the Spirit, because here's where really the point of contention, I think, happens sometimes with the church, that they say, see, the Spirit is not really, which I don't even know how people could say that, because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ, right? Right? So whose spirit would it be? It ain't the spirit of me, right? It's the Spirit of Christ. So I think we're good there, right? That the Holy Spirit is not a separate entity, right? A separate person from Jesus and the Father, but it is actually the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, right, that dwell in you. Look at what he says. He says, first he says, he will give you another comforter. So you say, oh, see, he said another. But watch what he's saying, that he may abide with you forever, right? Even the Spirit of truth, that, right? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. So he says, he's with you right now, right? And shall be in you. And then look at what he says in verse number 18. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will not leave you comfortless because I'm going to give you another comforter, right? But watch what he says. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So who just came, right? So you see how beautiful that is? And people, so we're not debunking that there is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God, right, that dwell on the inside of us, and there is the Son and that there is the Father. It's just that, you know, when people think that there is three gods, like we said before, and I won't necessarily go into it again, but it causes confusion. And like Miss Lindsay said, with the Spirit of God, there is no confusion, because it causes confusion because people don't know who to pray to. You know, do I pray to the Holy Spirit? Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to God? But Jesus himself said, anything that you ask the Father in my name, we just read it, anything that you ask the Father in my name, I will do it, that the Father will be glorified. And he says that I'm not saying that I'm going to pray to the Father for you, for the Father loves you just as he loves the Son, right? So just as the Father loves Christ, he loves us. And so we don't have to like kind of say, you know, pray to Jesus. Because there is a sect of the Christian church that believes that, right? That you got to pray to one so that that person intercedes for you, because you can't just ask the Father. But he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, right, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. And he said, you don't have to say, Jesus, you know, can you ask the Father for me? You know, the intercession that the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Christ makes for us is sufficient for all time for you. Sufficient for all time for you. So he says he lives forever to make intercession for you. And that's an awesome thing. So here's how that goes right back, right into what I believe the Lord wanted to continue with tonight. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And this is all good. That's all good. It's good stuff. It's good. Truth is awesome. Truth is awesome. Truth is awesome. It's always good. Look at, and we read this a little bit on Sunday, went into it a little, not as much as I would have wanted to, but look at verse number 1, Hebrews 10:1, and look at what it says. It says, for the law having a shadow of the good things, and he defines even what a shadow is, having a shadow of the good thing to come and not the very image of the things, right? And that's kind of understood, right? That's my shadow, I'm the image, right? So the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, right, of the good things that were to come, can never with those sacrifices, right, animal sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect, right? Could not make, so none of the people that had these animal sacrifices, right, that bought the animal sacrifices, right, so that the priest would present those, none of those people were made perfect. And they lived actually with a remembrance of their sin year after year, right? They lived with that their sins were not blotted out and taken as far as the east is from the west, right? Thank God that's not where we live, but animal sacrifices could not do that. For then it says, if that would have happened, if animal sacrifices could have perfected those people that bought those, right? It says, for then would they not have ceased then to be offered? Because the worshipers, it says, once purged, should have had no more consciousness of sin. So you see how cool that is? That if there was a sacrifice that was powerful enough to actually truly, right, it be our sin that sacrifice was for, right? The payment really truly for our sin. If that would have happened, then people would no longer have to live with a consciousness of sin. And a different way to say that, a consciousness of sin, is a consciousness of their actions, right? A consciousness of the things that they do. A consciousness of, oh, look, I outwardly messed up and I did this and I messed up and did that. And let me show you a little bit more. In verse number, look at verse number 3. He says, but in those sacrifices, in the animal sacrifice, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. I don't even know why I explained that. I could have just kept reading, right? It says, why when he comes into the world, speaking of Jesus, he said, sacrifices and offering you would not, but a body Have you prepared me? So Jesus said, a body. Now, you didn't want sacrifices and offerings of bulls and goats, but a body you have given me, right? So Jesus knew full well why the word became flesh. He knew why he took on flesh. This was the reason, right? A body you prepared for me, for in burnt and offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. Then said I, see, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written, to do your will, O God, right? So he has come. He said, I have come to do the will of God, right? And then check this out. It says, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, you would not. That's verse number 8. Neither had pleasure in them therein. He says, which are offered by the law. Then he said, see, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. So what it does is he eliminates the need for animal sacrifices, right? And establishes a new covenant, right? That it is, right, kept, right? The covenant that is through Jesus Christ and through the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Verse number 10 then, check this out. This is good. Verse number 10 says, by the which we are all, right? By the body of Christ, right? By the body and the sacrifice of Jesus, we are all, it says, sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ. And this is so important, once for all. Now, why is that? Why is that so important that he said once for all? It gives me like little things, like a chill, right? Once for all, because he said that if there was one sacrifice, once for all, if there was one that could make the comers perfect, then what? There would have to be no more consciousness of sin. And what does he say there? He says, by the which, by the body of the one that came to do the will of the Father, he said, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then it says, it goes into the priesthood and how, you know, the priesthood stands, but, you know, and it'll eventually get in Hebrews into the fact that he's our high priest. But here's the cool thing. There are things that happen in our lives, right? And there are things that happen in the lives of Christians and things that we do that, you know what, that you look at those things and they disappoint you, right? Stuff that happens and you're like, you know, I wish that, you know, that this wouldn't continue to happen or that I wouldn't do this thing or would not do that other thing. But here's the part that is harmful with having thoughts like that, right? That if we take time to always try to analyze and reanalyze our action in an effort to try to either learn from what you've done, and here's what we try to do. We try to feel so bad about what we did because you want to remember how bad you felt so that the next time you can remember how awful it was so that you won't do it again. But what that's called is called consciousness of sins. That's what that's called. And if we understood what Jesus did, we would not have any more consciousness of sin. Because this may not come as a newsflash to you, right? But the more conscious you are of sin, the more you end up repeating the behavior, right? That's what you're conscious of. That's what your mind is constantly on, right? But let me show you something now that this just fits perfectly into, right? Let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse number 20. And we've seen this before, but this is good to tie into this. Proverbs 4:20. So it says, my son, it says, attend to my words, incline your ear to my saying. So we see what he's asking him. And this is an important thing because that actually, it's being like asked there, but it's actually a command, right? And what we're going to show you is that the commandments of the new covenant that we are in, right, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And the second one is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself, right? That is a command, right? What he says here is, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. So what you'll see is that inclining your ear to listening, right, to listening to the Lord, acknowledging God and listening to him is to love him. And I'll show you a verse. We've taught about that, those messages, I don't even know, years ago on that, probably a year or more ago, which are probably good to look up. But getting back to this, so here's what he says. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart. And you know what really what that's describing right there? And there are so many more verses that we could go into. But what that's really describing is the diligence that a Christian should have, right? The diligence. And in other words, what is our part? What is it that God wants from us, right? And that's an important thing. Like, Lord, what is it that you want? Because people, a lot of times when they're going through a problem, they think that they're going through the problem because of the actions that they see. And they, you know, they cry out to the Lord and they say, Lord, like, what is it that you want from me? What do you want me to do? as though God is asking, like, for you to have an answer to this issue or to that issue. But really, the one thing that God is looking for us to do is to be able to do what? To incline our ears. In other words, we that have been given ears to hear. And if we don't know, what that means is that the way you've been given ears to hear is because you have been given the Spirit of God on the inside of you that teaches you. That means you have ears to hear. People without the Spirit of God cannot hear. People without the Spirit of God can read the Bible and they will not never, they can read it from cover to cover. And without the Spirit of God, they will never have a clue ever what it says. If it were not for the Spirit of God on the inside of us, who is called the teacher, we would not know anything. We said that before, right? So what he says here is, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart. So you know what that is? It's a diligence to constantly acknowledge the Lord, right? If you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I'll direct your path. In other words, he'll make those things that are crooked straight. He makes us to what? To see. Christians are not people, and it's just good what you were just praying before. Christians are not people that should be confused. We, God forbid, out of all the earth, should be the last segment of people ever to be confused. But what really does cause a lot of confusion, and I understand this, right, is that we all don't have truly, right, one church that teaches one thing. Right? We have many churches that teach many things. And people ordinarily, there are many men of God, right, that love God, that preach the gospel, but intertwined with that also are other things that come in, right? So thank God that we are also not left without hope there. Why? Because we have still, in the midst of those differences, we still have the same Spirit. So when the church gets to the place where it allows the Spirit of God to be the teacher and we don't lean on our own understanding, because that's really a lot of what happens, right? People leaning on their own understanding. They hear a preacher, what do? They're trying to understand. As if understanding and truth were our job. It's not our job. We can't understand. Thank God we have the Spirit of God in us to teach us, right? To reveal to us, to open so that we can see, right? Because we cannot. But it's good. So he says, look at what he says. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are, listen, my God, life. For they are life, life. And there have been a lot of messages, right, that have been taught recently about death and life, right? It says, for they are life to those who find them. What is? The word that God speaks. The word that God speaks is life. And it is alive. And it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm not talking a Bible to rub it on your head. I said the words that God speaks are alive. The things that the Spirit of God speaks to you, right, that allows you to understand the things that you read, the things that people speak to you, right, that word, that's alive and powerful. And it cuts deep into your innermost thoughts and desires. He does that. Why? Because he lives in you. Right? Because he lives in you. That's how he can do that. In your heart and in your mind when you allow him to do those things, right? There are people that love God, but they don't allow the Lord to teach them, right? So are they going to heaven? I believe that there are people that are going to heaven but live on this earth without taking advantage of the teacher and the comforter and the helper that they have on the inside of them, right? That's a pity and it should not be. But so he says their life to those who find the word of God, right? That listen to him. When we attend to his words, when we incline our ear to what he's saying. That's why I love what he says. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline your ear to my sayings, right? That's hard for some of the church to believe that the Spirit of God speaks. Well, if he don't speak, then why is he the Spirit of truth? Because how does he teach then? Because if he doesn't speak, then what does he do, right? And I'm not saying that the Spirit of God all day long is talking to me in my ear, right? But he is bringing things up into my heart, speaking and teaching me things that it would take men eons and a year to be able to teach me. And the Lord can help you to understand and give you revelation and open your heart so you to be able to see things. Look at what he says. He says, when you do that, when you attend to his words, when you incline your ear to his sayings, when you don't allow his word to depart from your eyes, right, which is just another synonymous way to see, to hear, right? When Jesus was talking, right, to the masses, and he said, hearing you don't hear and seeing you don't see, right? He wasn't telling them that actually, if they could see with their eyes, they would learn something, right? What he's talking to them about, that seeing and that hearing, right, is revelation, right? The seeing, in other words, the perception by faith to understand, which is a seeing, right? Faith is seeing. Faith is seen. Thank God faith is not a leap of faith and you don't know where you're going, right? Because people do that sometimes. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to take a leap of faith because I don't know. That's not faith then. That's just you doing something and you don't know. And you want to trust God, but you don't know. That's not the way God wants us to move and do things, right? He wants us to for things to be done because we know, not because we don't know. Faith is knowing. Faith is not knowing. Faith is knowing. So look at verse number 22. He says, for their life to those who find them and health to all their flesh, right? Still, there are people that struggle. Is it really true that the Lord can give life to my mortal body? Is it really true that that healing is really real? Well, I don't even know how they fight that verse then, right? The word of God, you listening to the Lord, it's life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Like, what else could that mean other than you could be healed and you could be well, right? Right? Listening to the Lord. Look at verse number 23. Keep your heart. Here's the diligence now. Keep your heart then with all diligence, for out of it, right, are the issues of life, which is issues there is the spring, right? Listen to where it's from though. Out of your heart are the issues of life. Out of your heart, spring comes life. Why is it that we don't have to live conscious of sin, but understanding and having a revelation of what Christ did for you, right? Understanding what he did for you and how you are free, right, from the things of this world, from the obligation to the flesh, that you've been circumcised, right? That the flesh has been circumcised. Why is it that we don't have to live with that consciousness or that constant thing of concerning myself with my, listen, it's not that you won't see things that you want, in other words, it's not that you won't do something that you did not want to do. It's not that these things could not possibly happen. But what I'm saying is, don't keep your eyes on the action. There is an issue that is way up front that has everything to do with the action, so the action is not the thing to be corrected. And I know, I get it, right? Our parents spend our entire lives, our teachers, the government, everyone on this earth spends all of their time correcting actions. People are in jail because of actions. But I get it. That system needs to be there for people without the Spirit of God, right? Because if there weren't a jail, we'd be in trouble, right? If there were no jails, we would be in trouble. Because people without the Spirit of God that cannot have the temperance of the Spirit of God in them need to have a place where they're not going to hurt the rest of society. I don't believe that everybody that's in jail needs to be there, but somebody who is going to be a menace to society and is going to be a hurtful, right, impact to the society needs to be in a place where they can't hurt anyone. But for a Christian though, right, we have to come to a place where, look at what it said, that if we were to understand the things that Christ did for the church in his body, we would have no more consciousness of sin. In other words, knowing that the body of sins, right, has been dealt with. We read and learned in past services, he said that the graves have been opened. In other words, death has been conquered, right? The graves are open. So the power of sin and death, which is a law, the law of the power of sin and death, I believe that's Romans 6, right? Or 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, right? That the law of sin and death, we don't live by that law anymore, but we live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life. So here's what happens. When you allow your diligence to be, right? I'm not saying that when something happens in your life, just feel great about it. Oh, that was awesome. I love the fact that I just did that, right? But the thing is, just put the diligence where it belongs and put that into listening to the Lord, acknowledging the Lord, right? How soon? How soon after something just happened do you acknowledge the Lord? Immediately you do. And I know this has been said probably about five services ago, right? We think that there is a period of time that we have to suffer and punish ourselves before, right, you can get over something. But so the problem is not really waiting until you can get over something emotionally. It's just that it doesn't have to be an emotional thing, but you can just go to listening to the Lord. Just go to listening to him. Let me show you where else. Let's go to James. Sorry, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Verse 3, look at all that we have in Christ. He says, according as his divine power, the power of God, has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Here's how it comes, through the knowledge of him. Again, that's why our diligence needs to be there, right? The knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus, that's what we want, to know him. We don't want to try to fix our problems, right? We want to know Jesus. That will fix itself, right? He'll take care of that. He is our temperance, right? That's why the fruit of the Spirit is not self-control. The Spirit of God does not give you the power to control yourself, right? To live as Christ, and I don't have to worry about controlling myself, right? That's good. That's good. So he says here, according as his mighty power has given all to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, in verse number 4, you might become partakers of the divine nature. It's a desire of God that we will partake in that which is divine. Partake in that which is divine. The things that are normal for God, the things that are normal in heavenly realms, the things that are normal for Christ, right? For my Lord and for my Father, the things that are normal for them, I should be partaking of that divinity, of that divine nature. Why? Because that's the nature you have in you now. You no longer have a sinful nature. You were born with that. And it was cut away from you. It was circumcised by the baptism in the Holy Spirit, right? So when you were baptized into his death. So now what do we have? Now we have in us, right, the Spirit of God on the inside of us. So look at what he says. So he says that we may be partakers of his divine nature. Now watch this. Having escaped, this is talking about me and you. Look, that we've escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Look at what it says. That you have escaped it already. You're not trying to escape it. You're not trying to get out of it, right? You have escaped it. Right? In other words, the reality of who we are, everything that was needful to happen in your life so that you could escape corruption. Corruption is a different way of saying what? Death. You are no longer subject to the death of this world. Just like Christ died once for all time, death no longer has any dominion over him. So also reckon yourself indeed to be dead indeed to sin and alive unto God. Right? That's Romans again. So look at what he says. So he says, that we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he said, and beside this, look at what he says, giving all diligence, all of your diligence, all of your diligence. It says, now here's the interesting thing. That verse there says, giving all diligence. It's translated, add to your faith, right? But here's a problem with just that little two-letter word, that if it is something that I add to my faith, then living actually is faith in Jesus and then other things. So in other words, if that two is right, then what I have to do is I have to be virtuous and add that to my faith in Jesus. And I have to have knowledge and temperance and add all of these things to my faith. But it's actually, the correct translation there is not add to your faith, it's add in your faith. And he explains it later on perfectly in verse number 8. But look at what he says there. He said, and beside all this, giving all diligence, add in your faith. In your faith in Jesus, he says, watch what's going to happen. These are fruits that you'll see. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, godliness, right? Patient godliness. It says to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity, right? Which is love. Look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you, in other words, what he's saying, if you see these fruits in your life, if you see these fruits in your life, they're in you and they abound, right? In other words, there's an abundance of it in your life. Right, virtue and excellence and knowledge and kindness, right? If you see these fruits in your life, look at what it says that you are. It says they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the only thing, right? In other words, the knowledge of Christ, what does it do? It makes you fruitful. So where, you know, the church has preached it for a long time, which is true, about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Who produces, I wonder, the fruit of the Spirit, if not the Spirit, right? It's not my fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's the Spirit in me bearing fruit, right? He is the one that is fruitful. Now, how do you make, you know, is that possible that you have the Spirit of God on the inside of it and somehow you make him fruitful? I mean, do you just tell him, you know, Holy Spirit, it's time for you to, you know, shoot out love right now. It's time for you to do this. It's time for you to be kind. So how does God on the inside of you, how do we allow him to live, right? Because he came to give us life and he came for the living, right? He's in us for the living. So this is what we were reading before, right? What we were reading before, let me take you back there. It says, the last verse that we read there in verse number 8 said that if you see that in you, that means that you're not barren nor unfruitful, that you're not barren nor are you unfruitful, right? That just is because we are the bride of Christ, right? In other words, that's why the church is pictured as a woman who is what? Fruitful, a woman who is fruitful, a woman who is not barren, right? But a woman who is fruitful, who bears fruit, right? By the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. And every woman bears fruit by a seed, right? Right? And we know obviously what that seed is, right? The living word of God. The word that is spoken to us, right? Is seed, our hearts are good soil. That's why, listen, all of these things that we're saying, how do you make that happen? Like, how do you see love and joy and peace, right? And patience and kindness and goodness and faith? How do you see all of those things coming out of your life? And temperance, how all those things become manifest in your life? Simply one thing, right? One thing. There is a spring and a fountain. In other words, he becomes in us living water, right? Living water. But the spring, right? In other words, there is a source in me who is the Spirit, right? How does it come out of me? In other words, how do I work out my salvation, right? I have salvation in me. How has that worked out? How has salvation worked out? You know what he said? He said, listen, incline your ear to my sayings, right? In other words, listen to me. For out of your heart is the spring of life. Your heart is the spring of life, right? People have the healer on the inside of them. They don't believe in healing. They'll never see it in their life. They'll never see it. Why? Because the heart is the spring. The heart is the spring. It is from our heart is where the life of the Spirit of God on the inside of us, that word is actually translated also accurately, source. The source, it actually calls your heart the source, but it's obviously, we know that it's not that the heart is the source, right? We know that the Spirit of God is the source, but the way he comes up, the way all of that flows is from what? Our knowledge of Christ. The Bible says, right in Peter, he says, grace and peace are multiplied unto us. What is grace? All that has been freely given to us by God, by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. What does he say? That it's multiplied unto us by what? By the knowledge of him. By the knowledge of him. So why is it that the diligence, and I'm going to end here. Why is it that diligence, that we have to have so much diligence to listen to the Lord, right? Because listen who it is that we have in us. We have a comforter who wants to comfort you. If we don't hear, we can't be comforted. We have a helper on the inside of us. If we don't listen, we can't be helped. We have a teacher on the inside of us. If we don't allow him to teach us, we can't be taught, right? So all of these things happen where? In our heart and in our mind. Listen, and this is the truth and you know it, right? What is the reality of the majority of Christians' life? What are they dealing with? Not trying to be diligent in their listening. They're trying to be diligent to stop the outside. You know what he said? You want good fruit? Make the tree good. Make the tree good. You can't make the fruit good. How do you make fruit good? If you got a bad tree, how do you make good fruit, right? You can't. But fix the mind, which is what? The renewing of your mind. Let your mind be renewed. Like whose? Like Christ. We have the mind of Christ we've been given, right? Let our heart be renewed to the mind of Christ, and then what'll happen? Your actions will fix themselves. But what fixed your actions? Right? The knowledge, right? You have a mind that is renewed now. Your spirit doesn't have a problem. Your spirit doesn't need spiritual food, right? The Word of God is not the spiritual food of your spirit, right? Even though people say that all the time. Your spirit doesn't have to eat. Your spirit is perfectly united with the Spirit of God. It doesn't need food. Your mind needs to be renewed. I mean, I don't even know where we come up with that stuff, that the spirit needs food. I don't know of the verse that says, feed your spirit, right? It's just, what does our mind need? Our mind needs to be renewed. Our body needs life, right? Our body needs life, and other people's body needs life, right? And they need people that can lay hands on the sick, and they know that they will recover. But how do those things happen? It has to come out of you. How does it come out of you? You have to know it. That's called faith. As you know Christ, knowing him, all these things are multiplied in your life.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.